Today I'm going to pray, please fold your hands and close your eyes. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may hear your holy word with joy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And I'm also going to read Psalms 18. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation of stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangle me. The toils of destruction overwhelm me. The cords of the grave cord around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my disasters, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundation of the mountain shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blasted out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. His mountains, the cumbers and flew. He saw on the wings of the wind. He made darkness. He covered his companion around him. The dark rain clouds of the sky out the brightness of the present clouds advised with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High restored it. He shot his arrow and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning he rounded them. The valleys of the sea were exposed. The foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke. Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from powerful enemies, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I'm not guilty of turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him. I have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. To your faithfulness you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the poor you show yourself poor. But to the deliverance you show yourself shredded. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. The Lord kept my lamp burning. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advise against a trap. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. The shield all who take refuge in him. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God whose arms me with strength and keeps my ways secure. He makes me feel like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He has trained my hands for battle. My arm can bend a bow of bruise. You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand secures me. Your help has made me great. You provided a broad path for my feet, so that my anchors do not give way. I persecuted my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. Your arms me with strength for battle. I humbled my advisors before me. You made my enemies turn their backs in fight, and I destroyed my foes. You cried for help, but there was no one to save them. To the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as wind-blow dust. I trampled them like mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have made me the hands of nations. People I did not know serve me, for engineers cower before me. As soon as they hear from me, they obey me. They all lose heart. They come trembling before my strongholds. The Lord lives. Praised be to my rock. Exactly my God, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who summons nature under me, who saves me from my enemies, who you exalt me above my foes. You're a violent man. You rescued me. Therefore, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing your praises of your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing love to his announcers, to David, and to his descendants forever.
There's another part to that story, and that is that I gave the cadets next week's text, so he only got the psalm this morning about 10 minutes before church started. So, extra brave, yes. All right, I decided this morning that since it is Cadet Sunday, and you guys are learning how to lead the way, that we're going to work this through together this morning. So I'm going to sit down here and talk with you guys, okay? Deal? But the deal is you guys have to answer my questions. Okay. All right. So you don't have to worry about them being right or wrong. We're just going to answer questions, okay? So a little bit of background first as you guys help lead the way through our Bible passage this morning. So Psalm 18 is pretty long, but we're going to break it up and discover what it has to say. So here at West End, over the last 2 weeks, we've been learning a little bit about the book of Psalms in the Bible. And we discovered that the Psalms are written about kind of to help connect people to the temple in the Old Testament. So this is a picture of maybe what the city of Jerusalem would have looked like in the Old Testament. And at the very back of it, there's a fancy building. Maybe it's a little hard to see. And that's got gold around the top of it. And that was the temple. And the temple was a really special place. It was even more special than a church building because the glory of God lived in the center of the temple in a place called the Holy of Holies. Okay? So it was very special, and everybody would go there to worship God. And here's a picture of some people worshiping God. And see, this is inside the temple. And the walls would be decorated with all of these different pictures that would tell the stories that are in the Bible. And people would go there and they would worship and they would hear people talking about God and they'd hear people singing songs about God, but they'd also get to see all of these different pictures that would remind them of all of the stories that were in their Bible. And so it was a really special way that they would be able to go and meet with God. But then something happened. The temple got destroyed. And the people of God couldn't go there anymore to worship God. So this is a picture of the temple being burned And all of the people were taken from their homes in Jerusalem, and they were brought to a different city far away called Babylon, where they had to live for a while. And it was really sad and really hard for them. And the hardest part about it was that they didn't get to go to the temple anymore, this special place to go to worship God. So some of the leaders in the community wrote this book of, or put together this book of Psalms. They didn't write it, but they took all of these poems that were shared amongst the people and put them together in a book that would tell the same stories that they would have heard and seen and sung at the temple, so that when they read the book of Psalms, it was like they were at the temple. So have any of you ever done any sort of virtual reality before? VR. Have you guys gone to do VR? Yeah? So you put on those goggles, and it's kind of like you're somewhere else, right? And you like play games and do stuff like that. Have any of you done that? Okay. So they didn't have VR goggles and stuff in the Bible times. They just had the book of Psalms. So they had to read it. But it was supposed to be like a virtual reality temple for them, okay? So that it felt like they were at the temple, even though the temple had been destroyed. So that's how the book of Psalms was meant to be for them. And then they could still hear all of the stories of God and still experience all of it. So last week, or 2 weeks ago, so the book of Psalms was like a virtual temple. So you kind of have to think about like VR, okay? So who knew there was VR in the Bible? So Psalm 1 was talking about those who know God and follow him thrive like a well-watered tree. Now, if I remember from last year, some of you had were in cadets, and your theme had something to do with a tree, didn't it? Do you guys remember what it was? Yeah. Yes, rooted and grounded, right? Like if you have good, strong roots, then you're grounded. And what should your roots be in, like a tree? Yes. In God, exactly, right? And that's what Psalm 1 was talking about. It had this image of a tree and being rooted and grounded in God. And it emphasized that it's really important to have a good relationship with God. And then Psalm 2 talked about something else. It talked about this guy, this promised leader, who was going to come and fill the world with God's glory and bring back the temple, okay? So, and there are different words that the Bible sometimes uses for this person. It's called, sometimes they call this person a king. Sometimes they call this person an anointed one. Sometimes the word used for this person is Messiah. Have you guys heard that word before? Yeah? Who's usually called the Messiah? God is, and a specific Jesus, right? Yes. And sometimes we also use the word Christ. We hear that about Jesus too sometimes, right? We call him Jesus Christ. And another one was a big word called Redeemer. Yes. So Jesus gets called a Redeemer too, right? So Jesus actually gets called all of these words: King, Anointed One, Messiah, Christ, Redeemer. So who do you think Psalm 2 might be talking about? Yes. But first it was talking about another guy. And his name was David, because David's kind of the first one, and then Jesus is the last one. So I got a Bible timeline here, but it's pretty small. I don't know if we can see it all. But this is kind of tells the story of the whole Bible. And it starts with creation, and then human beings rebelling. And then there's a whole bunch of things that happen until you get to that fancy word monarchy, which means king. And King Saul's the first king, and then the second king is a guy named David. Have any of you guys heard about a guy named David before? Yes. What kinds of things have you heard about David before? Yeah.
David was a shepherd and he killed Goliath.
Yes, exactly. David was a shepherd and he was also the one who battled Goliath. Goliath was the giant. With 5 stones, right? So he's like 9 feet tall and David's like probably a kid not much bigger than some of you guys. And he says to Goliath, he says, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin." In other words, you've got all this big, mighty armor. And all I've got is a slingshot and 5 rocks. And he says, "But I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty." And who wins the battle?
David.
David does, right? Because who does he have on his side? God is on his side, right? So even the giant Goliath is not going to take him out, right? So David is this pretty important guy, and he becomes the king, the second king, and he is a king who loves God and wants to follow God. And so God makes a big promise to him. He says, David, I am going to use someone from your family someday to rule over the whole world and make sure everything in the world is as best as it can possibly be, that everything in the world follows exactly how I want it to be, and where everything's really awesome. Things are the way that they are supposed to be. So David thinks that this is a pretty good idea, right? Do you guys think that's a good idea, if God has somebody who rules over the entire world and makes everything really great? Yes. Sounds like a good plan? No? You don't think so? Okay. Well, I hope so, because that's God's plan. So now, but what happens is David has a kid. His name is Solomon. And Solomon doesn't quite do things God's way. And Solomon's kids actually, they end up breaking up the kingdom instead of making it bigger. So we get something that we call a divided monarchy or divided kingdom. And then the exile happens and the destruction of the temple happens. And the people come back, but they don't get a king back. And then very later on, we get this guy named Jesus, right? And Jesus ends up becoming a king, but he's different than this king named David. Okay, so we're going to look at, this is the background to understanding this Psalm 18 that we read this morning, this very long one. So can you guys open up your Bibles? And we're going to look at a few parts of this psalm together. Because all this stuff we talked about with David and Jesus and kings is going to have something to do with Psalm 18. So if you kind of go to the middle of your Bible and you open it up, you'll get to Psalms. It's kind of in the middle. Okay. If you're Isaiah, you're too far. You got to back up. Psalm number 18, 1-8. Okay. The very beginning of Psalm 18, it says, it kind of gives us a description before verse 1 of what this psalm is about. It says, if you look under it, so it says Psalm 18, and then there's some words in italics. And that's what we're going to read first. Okay, because it's going to give us some of the description of how to understand Psalm 18, which is important when we're trying to learn how to read something, right? We got to look at what it's telling us about it. It says, this psalm was written by David. It says, of David, the servant of the Lord. And we just talked about who David is, right? He's the king. He's the guy, the shepherd. He's the guy who fought Goliath. And the youngest, yeah. He sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from all of his enemies from the hand of Saul. So Saul was the king, and God decided that David should be the king, and Saul didn't like that. So Saul spent quite a bit of time chasing David down, trying to kill him. Like David was like hiding in caves and stuff like that from Saul because he was so afraid of Saul. So that's pretty scary, right? If somebody's trying to hunt you down, because they don't want you to become king. And David was really scared during those times. But now this psalm was written by David after God made him king and after Saul wasn't king anymore. So God has rescued David from Saul. So that's an important part of this psalm that we need to think about. Okay? So I think we're going to move along. I'm missing some slides. I'm talking ahead. So Psalm 18, who's this David guy and what do you know about him? We talked about that already. And we looked at the description of David. So in the first two verses, verses 1 and 2, it says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. So all of these are descriptions of God taking care of them. What's a fortress? Do you guys remember what a fortress is? Yeah. What's a fortress? A structure, right? Some place that you might go and hide and stay safe. Do you guys ever build fortresses in Minecraft? Yes? Yeah. Hide your stuff. Keep your bed safe so nobody destroys your bed. Okay. So, yeah. So this is the kind of thing that God does. God protects David like a fortress, like this structure that keeps you safe. So these first two verses are describing God as someone who protects you. Now, the next three verses have some interesting words in it. And they're talking about enemies and bad things happening. He says that God saves him from his enemies. The cords of death entangled me. What do you guys think that means? What do you think? Kind of like if someone wrapped you up really tight with a rope. Have any of you ever wrapped somebody up with rope or duct tape or something like that for fun? Yeah? Okay. Can you move very well if somebody wraps you up with a rope? No? What happened to you if you stayed stuck in that rope forever? Do you think you'd live very long? No. Is it very comfortable? No. So this is talking about death kind of like wrapping you all the way up and you're not being able to move. So not a good thing, being tied up. Right? You don't want to be tied up. Torrents of destruction is the next verse. What's a torrent of destruction? Any idea? So, yeah. Do you know what a torrent is? No. So a torrent is one of two things. It's either like really heavy rain, if you ever go outside when it's raining, and you're like soaked in like 2 seconds. And you're like, all your clothes are soaked, your hair is soaked, your shoes are soaked. That is a torrent of rain. It's like so much rain that you just get soaked right away. Or a torrent can also be like a river that comes rushing down and like washes everything away that's coming that way. Or like in the cartoons when there is an avalanche coming and the people are trying to sled ahead of the avalanche, but the snow is coming and it's really big and high and you think that they're going to get covered up in the snow. That's a torrent of snow, okay? So if you've got a torrent of destruction, it means that the destruction is going to like completely engulf you. You're going to get soaked to the bone with it. So not a good thing, because destruction's not a good thing, right? And here we've got snares of death. Snares are like a trap. So if you think of like a really big like bear trap or something like going snap on you, that's a snare of death. So this is like all of these bad things are like consuming you. These are the pictures that this psalm is trying to give. So David is saying that these things, it felt like these things were happening to him when Saul was chasing him down. It was like he was going to get wrapped up, or he was going to get soaked with destruction, or he was going to get trapped with a really big trap and he was going to die. That's how he was feeling when Saul was chasing him. That's what this part of the psalm is saying. And so what does David do about it? Do you guys know what David does about it when Saul is chasing him down? Anybody got an idea? Pray. Do you pray? That's a good one. Definitely. Yes. He asks God to help him. Yes, that's exactly what the psalm says. In verse 6, it says that he cries out to God to help him. And do you think God helps him? Yes, God does help him. That's what the next verses say. Verses 7 to 15 say that God helps him. So 7 to 15 talk about how strong God is when God comes to help him. So there's all of these pictures of God being really strong and really mighty. So if we think about it, it says like that God can use, can do things like with a blast of breath from his nostrils. In other words, God can go really hard and can like make stuff happen. Okay? Like lots of wind comes out of his nose. Yeah. And that he can reach down and he can pick David up from the deep. That God can do all of these things to rescue David. That God is way more powerful than all of David's enemies who are trying to who are trying to overtake him, right? And so those are what happens in verses 7 through 15. All of those descriptions are there. And then in verses 16 to 19, we also get, or sorry, I was going ahead. But anyways, so God does all of these big, strong things. And then 16 to 19, God rescues David and by picking him up and making sure that nothing bad happens or that the bad things don't happen to him and Saul doesn't catch him, okay? And so then we get in verses 20 to 24 why God does this. So this was a long psalm and there was a lot going on in this psalm, but why does God do this? Verses 20 to 24, and it tells us because David was righteous. In other words, David recognizes that he needs God to help him. And it's not because David does everything perfect and is the perfect guy. It's because David loves God and recognizes that he needs God's help and he asks for it. So that becomes a really important part of this psalm, is that he recognizes he needs God and that he needs to live God's, or leads to live God's way and lead the way for others to know who God is. And David also later on in the Psalms we read asks God for forgiveness when he does things that are wrong. Because if we read the story of David, he does some pretty cool things like fight Goliath, but he does some pretty awful things too. He's not perfect. And so he actually does some big sins too. And he has to ask God to forgive him. And so God does, and God takes care of him, and God responds to David, because David is talking to God about the things that are good and the things that are bad. But above all, David is trusting in God and loving God. So David recognizes that he needs God in his life, and he needs God in order for David to be able to lead the way. And in response, in verses 27 to 45, we discover that God makes David king. So there's lots of words there about God destroying David's enemies, and about how David doesn't do all of this on his own, and that eventually the enemies who didn't recognize David as king at the beginning do end up recognizing that David is king, and it's all because of what God did. Not because of how strong or powerful that David is, but because of who God is. And that enables David to be able to lead the way to teach others about who it is that God is. And so at the very end of the psalm, because God did all of these things, David gives praise to God. And there you go. We made it through all 50 verses. There's a lot in there, but that's what it says. There was 50 in there. That's a lot, hey? So, and we worked our way through it, chunk by chunk. So now Psalm 18, does it make a little bit more sense now? Okay, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. But God doesn't end with David, because everything in the Old Testament points us to a very special person, and that is Jesus. And David is the first king who is after God's own heart, but he's not the last king. And David's only able to be king over a small part of the earth, but God is promising somebody who will be king over the entire earth, okay? And that's a lot bigger than just the small part of the earth that David was king after. And remember, God made that promise to David that someday someone from his family would be king over the entire earth. And eventually, that person ends up coming, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus ends up being king over the entire world and over everything. And it's through Jesus that God shows his power and might in the biggest ways. And in Jesus that God saves us from the cords and snares of death and the torrents of destruction. And in Jesus that God sets up his kingdom over the entire earth. And this isn't because you and I do everything right, right? Do we do everything right all the time? No, we don't. And it's not because everybody here does everything right or because we are so awesome all of the time. But it is because God loves us and God wants to have a relationship with us just like he does with David. And also because we ask for forgiveness when we do things that are wrong. Because the point of Jesus being king isn't so that the king can do everything all by himself, but that he can lead the way so that others can also live God's way. So when we recognize that Jesus is king, then Jesus gives us a very important job, and that is to live like we are followers of Jesus, and we lead the way and show others how to live God's way and how to live the way of God's kingdom. Okay, because Jesus is this promised king. So what are some ways that cadets show others or lead the way to show others that Jesus is King. Can you guys think of some ways that you guys do that? I think you've got a motto that has some stuff in it. Yep.
We read about God.
Yes, you learn lots about God, right? And you read about God's word when you're in cadets. So that's a really good way to get to know about God and to get to know about God's kingdom. Any other ways that you might do it? I always love the very last line in your motto. It says that you're cheerful. Yeah, cheerful, yes, but that's one of the ways that you show the kingdom too. What are some other words that are in your motto that might help you?
Yep. It's on the motto, but the song itself.
Mm-hmm. The song itself, living for Jesus. Yes, that's another one. Yes, Will. Yes, being compassionate. What was the other words? Yeah, obedient, being compassionate. Maybe acts of kindness. What are some ways that maybe you're kind to the people around you? Maybe if someone is being bullied next to you, then you stand up for them. Yeah? And you make sure that you don't accidentally say or do something that might make someone feel like they're being bullied. That's a really important one too. Sometimes we like to tell jokes and we think they're really funny, but they hurt someone's feelings on accident. Yeah, that's a hard one, right? Especially when it seemed like it was really funny. Yes. Or we're like wrestling with our friends and suddenly we get too rough and someone gets hurt. Sometimes stuff like that happens, right? And then what do you think is the most important thing that we do? We say that we're sorry. Right? Because God forgives us and other people will forgive us too. Sometimes it's just as important to recognize when we've done something wrong as what we did. Yep. So we can make sure that we don't say or do things that hurt other people. We can use our bodies not to hurt other people. We can be cheerful. Another one that the kids talked about this morning with the chickens is we can be generous, right? We can share our time, talents, trees, and treasures to help others, not just ourselves. What do you think some things that grown-ups can do? We're talking about cadets. You guys have any ideas about things grown-ups can do? Do you think grown-ups do it all right all the time?
No.
No. Yeah? Okay, what are some things that grown-ups can do?
They can help us learn.
Yep, they can help you learn. That's an important way that the grown-ups can help spread the kingdom, right? Because they need to teach it all to the kids. Definitely. That's a great one. Yes, exactly, and so that you can teach your kids. So these are all the ways, some of the ways that can help us lead the way to God's kingdom. And so that is a big part of what is going on here in this psalm. Am I going backwards now? So what this psalm is teaching us is that God gives David a really important job as a leader, but God also gives us important jobs as a leader in the kingdom, and that we are called to bring the good news of the kingdom in all that we do. And so each and every one of you as cadets gets to help lead the way, but so do all of the other people who are here this morning too. We are all called to lead the way of God's kingdom. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that we can discover Psalm 18 with you this morning and your call to lead the way of your kingdom. And so we pray, Lord, that in all we do, we will live for Jesus and show the world the ways of Jesus Christ. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.